The House of Representatives is considering a bill to reform the Homeland Security Department's acquisition process. H.R. 4228 asks DHS to improve acquisition accountability and keep its programs on schedule. Henry Willis is director of the RAND Corporation's Homeland Security and Defense Center and looking at the issue with his colleagues on the RAND blog. A link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Henry, thanks for coming on the program this afternoon. DHS would say we've made a tremendous amount of progress in our acquisition process, and they have told that to the members of Congress that oversee the Department of Homeland Security. Where, in your view and the view of your colleagues, do the issues still remain in DHS's acquisition process?
I think there's a few things. It's clearly DHS has made headway and has identified this as an issue that requires attention. But there's a few places where they still have work to do and are in the process of trying to improve. You know, one of them I'd say is standardizing across the different components of DHS how acquisitions is managed. And that starts from the headquarters. A second is more consistently doing early analysis of what the requirements are and how the acquisition itself will help DHS meet those requirements.
Requirements are a problem for agencies across the federal government. We saw that in healthcare.gov. We see it in the Defense Department all the time. We see it in just about every agency. What is different about the way DHS should approach requirements, if anything, from the way other agencies approach requirements?
There's really nothing that particularly different. In fact, DHS has laid out a bunch of the same type of guidelines already for its acquisition projects. One of the things they've run into, however, is that historically, a lot of the acquisition projects haven't followed some of those guidelines that DHS had said they should. So for example, late 2012, GAO looked over about somewhat 70 major acquisitions and found that of those 70, only 49 had been reviewed. And furthermore, 88% were permitted to proceed without having documented the planning analysis that they were supposed to have done.
You mentioned the bill that the House is considering to change defense acquisition, and you reference it along with your colleagues in this post, and you point out 4 points that are included in this bill that you call significant provisions that improve accountability. I'd like to chat about each one in turn. You write, every major acquisition program at DHS will have an approved acquisition program baseline document, and the Acquisition Review Board will hold programs accountable for demonstrating their readiness to progress to new phases. That seems on the surface to be self-explanatory, those provisions, Henry, but as I read through the bill itself and went back and looked at the report from you and your colleagues last year, which is linked through your blog post, it strikes me that there is more than meets the eye to that one.
Well, I think you're right. It's that this is not, you don't just have to write and put into your policies and such that you will do the review. You actually have to carry through and follow through with it. I think everyone recognizes this, and there is more attention. I think that this is this pressure from through the House bill is appropriate because historically, as the GAO had pointed out, a large percentage of, and as I just mentioned, a large percentage of the acquisitions hadn't been held accountable in the way that even DHS's own policies suggested they should.
Henry Willis is director of the RAND Corporation's Homeland Security and Defense Center, and is writing on the RAND blog with his colleagues Jeffrey Dresner, Andrew Morrill, and Laura Patton about the acquisition process at DHS. Another provision of H.R. 4228 to improve acquisition at DHS that you write about, Henry, is that decision-making authority won't be delegated to components until key planning requirements are met. And it seems to me it sounds like that's not just referencing requirements for the acquisition, it's requirements for how the acquisition is going to be executed. And that fits with the narrative that Secretary Napolitano started with One DHS when she was still in office, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and it's been picked up by Secretary Johnson as well, to have a more unified approach to how the department not only responds when events happen, but plans and strategizes. There is a provision in the DHS policies that allow for the headquarters, Office of Management, to allow the components to manage the acquisitions more autonomously. And that actually makes sense in a lot of cases, because in certain acquisitions, the components know what they want and it can be in the most agile position to get capabilities out in the field quickly and efficiently. The issue has been that when there hasn't been, when there's been such a lack of oversight like we just talked about, and there's been a wide inconsistency, it's reasonable to take pause and hold back on allowing that delegation of authority until the acquisition process is stabilized.
The third example that you give in this piece is that careful analysis of acquisition cost or schedule breaches will help the department identify root causes for these failures and incorporate lessons to improve future acquisitions. That sounds ripe for sticking the name STAT at the end of whatever you'd want to call it. Acquisition STAT at DHS, I guess you could call that. But these reviews seem to be paying off all across government, not just in acquisition, but all kinds of program management and project development.
Yeah, and it's at the end, it's common sense. Things will happen that we might not anticipate, and it can lead to schedules going long or things costing more. But we should try to learn from those. And this has been required by legislation for DOD to do when it has what's referred to as non-McCurdy breaches. We're not saying that you need to have the same type of process in place, though it is good that this is calling for when something goes wrong in an acquisition process to take pause and see what caused it and how could it be prevented in the future.
Henry, the final example I want to cite in H.R. 4228 that you reference in your post is a pilot program to establish a Homeland Security Acquisition Workforce Development Fund that could provide mechanisms for more professional development opportunities for DHS acquisition officials. The end result there, more professional development opportunities for the acquisition officials, is a goal for which there are many models across the federal government, the various acquisition universities and the other efforts that agencies are undertaking to try to develop their acquisition workforces. So I would take the good news there to be that DHS certainly isn't going it alone and they're not having to figure it out from scratch.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think it's important to note there are a lot of good people at the department trying to do good work. And a lot of times it's some of these problems that arise because there just haven't been enough and haven't been enough opportunities for training in the career paths that in this department that's now 10 years old. And so we saw this as a very positive. In most of the things we've looked at, there's a consistent finding that we need to be able to train and provide an adequate workforce, and this is very consistent with that.
You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that in the 11 years DHS has been in existence, they have made progress on these fronts, as DHS has claimed. Is there a way to decide, and is it fair to decide, if we think DHS has made sufficient progress, or is that concept so amorphous that we want to look at what they've done and say, yes, they're making progress, and they're working at this, obviously, and getting ahead, and we'll be content with that? Because I'm not sure everybody in Congress thinks that's necessarily the case.
You know, I think it's a case of even when more progress is made, we shouldn't be content. There's always ways to improve. And you know, the Department of Defense has been around even longer and still does some of these things to look back when problems occur and see how it can learn. And so I think this will be a continuous improvement process, and it's good it's getting the attention it needs now.
Henry, we're going to put a link, as I mentioned, to your blog post along with your colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. I thank you very much for coming on to talk about your work.
Thank you.
Henry,
have a good day.